talk to you this morning briefly. January 10th, 2016, David Bowie died. You go, what does that have to do with Easter? Well, it's a good thing I'm going to tell you. He released a music video called a song called Lazarus only a few days before he died. It began to circulate right after his death, and it was his producer of this album wrote on Facebook. He says this: his death was no different from his life, a work of art. He made Black Star for us this parting gift, his parting gift. He was an extraordinary man full of love and life. He will always be with us. For now, it is appropriate to cry. See, fans seem to feel almost like Bowie was reaching back through the grave through this song, which had themes relevant to the grave, and it had themes relevant to resurrection. And yet, the truth of the matter was that Bowie, as brilliant as a musician, as he was, whether you like his lifestyle or not is irrelevant, but he was a brilliant musician. He was dead. And it was it. Only God knows the state of his faith, and I never choose to make those kind of calls on anyone because God is the one that will be the ultimate judge, and only God knows. I cannot make claims that he loved Jesus, and he cannot make the claims that he was like Jesus, like Jesus does in John 11:25, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? You see, 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, something changed the world forever, permanently changed our world. And because of that event, history was split. Do you know that every time you write down a date or tell someone a year, do you know what you're doing? You're using the resurrection of Jesus as the focal point. He's the focal point. My message today is not the Easter story. You get the story. You know the story. And you know what? You've heard it a million times. He was innocent, but the verdict was guilty. He was punished, brutally beaten, and then crucified. But the most important part was that he rose from the dead. He didn't stay in the tomb. I could go on to the gory details of how they beat him, and we could get into that, but I won't. There's children here. Come on now, don't be silly. But it was bad, real bad. Your friends know the story. People know the story. They've heard it. Your co-workers know the story. And in many places, that's what Easter has become. It's become just a story. And sometimes it's a story about a bunny that runs around hiding eggs under your bed, or maybe in the bushes, or maybe in your backyard. Maybe that bunny does that for you. I'm not here to say otherwise. See? I'm not dumb. But the real question today is, why does any of this matter? Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Why is it so important? Well, it's not just about a bunny. I'm going to tell you that today. It's not just about that. It's about something else. This story was important because it proved, the Easter story proves that Jesus was who he claimed to be. Because there can really be no other verdict that he was who he claimed to be, because he was God in flesh, and he came to earth to save us. Colossians 1:16-17. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see, After Jesus died, they took his body down. They put him in a tomb, and a large stone was placed in front of the tomb. At that time, the religious leaders of that day were very concerned that he would be stolen, that Jesus would be taken from his grave, from the tomb. And so they put this giant stone in front of it. And in order to put that giant stone, you need a lot of people to roll that into place. But to get that stone back, you would need even more people to roll that stone. Okay, so just to give you this, there's a Roman guard standing in front of Jesus' tomb. Now, just to give you an example of how heavy that stone would be, it would be like trying to pick up this cross, okay? I've been putting up this cross now for a few years, not by myself, I got Christian to help me, but Brother Dave here used to help out a lot. He used to put it up, and it was always very thankful for you doing that. But it is heavy, okay? It takes two people. That's just a chunk of wood, okay? The stone would be like trying to take this piano by yourself and moving. The thing is, you can't do it. You wouldn't be able to move this stone. Now, place somebody there and put them asleep. Now, I know some of you value your sleep, and you're probably very good sleepers. I, for one, am a very good sleeper, and sometimes when I snore, it does feel like the earth moves. But it's a talent and a gift. If I was sleeping there and you tried to move this piano, what would happen? Snoring or not snoring, I would awake because you would be noisy because you can't lift that piano. That would happen. That would have happened. So in order for someone to come and steal this body from the grave, there would have been a lot of things that would have had to have been in place. Jesus already said, I'm the resurrection and life. Destroy this temple and I'll come back. How many days? Wait a minute. If I do a quick calculation of days, isn't that just after he died? So therefore, Jesus, stating what he says, they were worried. The Sanhedrin, the high priests, we talked about those on Good Friday, were concerned that somebody would steal him so that these things would be true. And then they would say, oh, they stole them and all that. So they didn't want any more. They wanted him dead and done. They wanted to make sure there was no chance that Jesus would be going anywhere. And now the rest, you know, he lives. Because the stone was rolled away. It's very important to remember that Easter is not some memorial to a really nice religious teacher who had cool hair and a nice goatee and had great olive skin, by the way, I'm sure. At least all the paintings show. He lived 2,000 years ago and had some good teachings. And some people wrote a book or a few books about him, a few letters. That was not just, it's important not to stay there. This is not a memorial about a person of a long time ago, who's just a good teacher. There's a lot of good teachers out there. But the Easter celebration is the fact that Jesus is alive. No one else can say that. No one. They've tried to say it, and it didn't work. You see, being raised from the dead, Romans 1:4, he was proved to be the mighty Son of God with holy nature of God himself. See, Easter is the good news about God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came as a human baby born into King David's royal family. And four historical records say that Jesus was seen afterwards in large crowds. What an incredible event. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the skeptics mocked him and said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you pull yourself down and show you're really God? But Jesus had something else planned, something incredible planned for you and for I, for mankind. He said, you bury me, and in 3 days, I'll be back to life and I'll prove who I am. And he's been doing it ever since. So what does this mean? What does this mean to us today? Okay, in one sense, Jesus Christ is still on trial. Jesus Christ is still on trial with humanity. Because some have not accepted him. Some have not acknowledged him as the Son of God or the Savior of the world. What's your verdict on him? You see, Easter really boils down to only two things. And we're going to boil them down right now. One is that Jesus was who he says he was. Is he who he says he is? Is he God? Is he a crazy person? Is he a liar? Is he a fraud? And secondly, if he is who he says he is, then when are you going to start following him like he is alive? When? When are you going to fill that God-shaped vacuum in your hole? When are you going to stop playing around with all that other stuff out there? Now, I'm not trying to be heavy on you, so know that. I'm not trying to be heavy. But if this is true, if the story of Jesus Christ is true, why are we waiting? Why are people waiting? Well, partly because it was so long ago. And what happens in time? You forget. You forget. You see, each and every day we go through our life, and it's easy to forget that we serve a living God, that Jesus came and he did all that for us. Because we get caught up in the daily grind of things. So we could believe in him, but we don't actually really believe in him. We're like, yeah, no, I believe he's a good guy, but whatever. I don't base my life on it. So, but we go to church, you know, sing a few songs, go out for lunch, have a good time, and then we go back on with our normal week. But do we really make him the Lord of our life? If this is true, are we doing that? It's something you have to ask yourself on a daily. Don't mess around. Don't try to fool him or trick yourself, because the only one you're doing, you know you're lying to yourself. And so you need to think about that. Today we all sit in judgment of Jesus Christ. Just ask Pilate, what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? What shall you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? You must decide whether he was who he said he was or not. You have to. Eventually in your life, you will have to do it, whether you do it now or later. It's going to be up to you, and no one's forcing you. Just because you weren't there 2,000 years ago doesn't mean it didn't happen. If that's the case, I guess I could say World War I didn't happen. Or two. I wasn't there. But you're like, well, some of you might have said, well, I know about it. Yeah, but I wasn't there. So why would I believe anything you say? Well, the history books show it. Yeah. Oh, do they? Oh. Well, the history books show that Jesus was here too. Huh. That's interesting. So we'll remember one thing, but we won't remember another. Christopher Columbus, I'm sure he was a lovely man. I don't really know. I don't know him very well. Did he actually do what he said he did? And you're like, well, the history books say so. Really? I don't believe it. Christopher Columbus didn't exist. Sorry. It's silly. Look throughout any historical book. Pick a person, anyone, that you weren't alive or around for, and I'll deny they existed. It's just as silly as that. We have to start thinking about this stuff. We have to get the right perspective. You could talk all day about any war, any event in history. If I wasn't there, I don't believe you? That's silly. That's silly. Jesus was a real person. Any historical book will tell you that. He was real. And guess what? Every other book can't find his body. Do you know that they're searching for his tomb? Well, I'm here to tell you, they won't find him because he's not there. No. They won't find him because he's not there. You believe it like a partial believer. You're trying. You're trying, and I give you props for that. Props. But I'm telling you, if he is the Son of God, we should be losing our minds right now because we know him. We know him, and you can get to know him. Again, you got to decide. All of us have to decide, whether you're a Christian or not. If I'm a Christian, which I am, I have to make sure that I'm in line. I have to work hard at being a good Christian. Now, do I fail? All the time. I'm horrible at failing. I'm a failure at failing. That would mean I was good, so no. But the point is, See how I did that? I didn't think you'd catch it, but then I thought I better explain myself, or I'm going to get letters and emails, and you think you're such a big deal because you're a failure at failing, so you're really good. We have to realize, just because you didn't see it. And Billy Graham, the late, great Billy Graham, said this. What did he say? Just because you can't see the wind doesn't mean you don't feel the effects of it. The world is crying out. The rocks will if we don't. I'm going to use that till the day I die. I'm telling you, look at creation. Look at molecules. Look at how they are. Look at all of creation. If you think you came here by an accident, that's a pretty incredible fluke. You better go buy yourself a lotto ticket because I hear it's going to be 50 million. That's not how it works. Something had to create it and you. And I'll tell you right now, I've been reading some stuff on the physicist. What's his pickle? He was in a wheelchair. Yes, thank you. Stephen Hawking. And even he said, you can't measure the creation of the universe. You can't measure it because it was too long ago. And then he said something interesting, and the way he worded it was very interesting. He said that basically there was nothing. Yeah, I know. You know why? Because Genesis says that. There was nothing. And then what happened? God did something. God did something incredible. You have to believe no painting just paints itself. No painting just paints itself. You know, I'm not pressuring you to make a decision today. I'm not. But you have to do it. I can't guilt you into that stuff. I can't guilt you to get right with God today, even if you do believe in him. And I can't pressure you to do that, to come and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I can't pressure you to do that. I can't manipulate you into doing that. You need to make that decision on your own. And once you make it on your own up here, you'll carry it with you for everything, through life. Through life. If God is real and you're struggling with accepting this, ask him to prove himself to you. But you have to be open to what he'll show you. If you close yourself off, then you didn't really ask him. You asked him with walls up. If you are already a Christian and you're not where you think you should be, I'm going to tell you your relationship with God, you feel that you're not where you should be. I'm going to say two words to you. Fix it. Fix it. Now, make that choice to repair your relationship with God. Do it now. If you feel that he's moved away, I'm promising you it's not him. He's in the same spot he's always been. You've moved away. And you've allowed circumstances in life, and you've allowed events in your life, you've allowed feelings and all this other stuff around you affect how you feel about God. Maybe you were wronged. Maybe something went haywire, and you're like, why is this happening to me and not them? Maybe there's so many different reasons why. Well, guess what? Sometimes life just stinks. Sometimes life is difficult. But God will walk you through that. God will walk you through that. But you have to let him, because he's not going to force himself on you. Let's pray.